here. So it's, I guess, a bit ironic that a conference called Beyond Huawei starts with a Huawei presentation, but we sort of felt like that's, at the end of the day, what we have been researching quite a lot for the last maybe 2 years, but definitely most extensively for the last year since the NUKIP warning of 2018. NUKIP is a Czech cybersecurity institution that in December 2018 basically called for banning Huawei from critical infrastructure of the Czech state. But even before that, as early as 2014, the Czech counter-espionage agency, BIS, actually called Huawei and ZTE very specifically as a potential risk of cooperation with intelligence operations back in China. So this is nothing new, at least in the Czech context, where we can say that the intelligence agencies and the security circles here are rather vocal, which definitely helps inform the public debate and creates an issue. I mean, it basically frames this as an issue, whether some other countries are still not seeing that. But at the same time, there has been some somewhat growing consensus in Europe. Not only the Prague proposals already mentioned here, this year in May, where 32 nations came, I mean, 32 entities from 32 countries, mostly Europe, came to Prague and discussed the potential risk of companies linked to authoritarian regimes being employed in our critical infrastructure and other ICT. After that, the Poland-US declaration followed in September, basically quoting, and much of the language was basically following the Prague proposals. And then most recently, a month after that, you have the EU coordinated statement that to some extent, again, to I would say a rather high degree, again, followed the previous consensus established here in Prague, again, sort of reflecting what we have been talking about here for a while. So we can clearly see that right now in Europe, at least from security circles, there is now growing consensus that Chinese ICT companies are an issue and ever-growing issue when it comes to 5G. So, while stressing the intelligence implications, especially with the national security law and intelligence gathering law, is just one part of the whole puzzle that is basically Huawei and other, especially large Chinese tech companies, being part of the whole, I would say, unique political system in China that is very much Leninist and that has broader implications, meaning that even though technically Huawei is not owned, as far as we know, at least we don't have it confirmed by any state entity or party organization, it is still led by the party system. That means it's very much integrated into what Anne-Marie Brady from New Zealand calls the party state military market system. And basically all these components actually benefit each other, coordinate in all manners of respects, meaning that in all manners of respects. And the problem with this kind of system is that it's basically designated to technically not only do clandestine operations in the intelligence segment, but also the other issue is basically it's expansion of political influence, even through business means and business contacts, that we often label as United Front tactics, which is designed to co-opt extra party forces now ever more increasingly abroad. This concept, to some degree, was actually more a domestic policy once, but now, especially under Xi Jinping, it's being exported as a foreign policy issue. Also, propaganda should not be discharged from this, because especially when it comes to PR capabilities, quite often even this private money is used for example, lobbying for non-business related issues that simply just benefit the party state itself and other entities within the system. And especially this is now becoming ever more increasing since the Belt and Road Initiative was announced, and the digital Silk Road that followed. We will actually have a presentation on in the afternoon session, so please come for the afternoon session. So when it comes to Huawei itself, again, a lot of the documents talk about issues such as state control, state pressure, state influence over the company, but the controls involved again are much more complicated and much more, I would say, informal than what we would normally expect from any other normal private or state entity. Basically, the connection is to some degree very much informal. Quite often, as for example, with the example of Sun Yafang, who used to be the chairwoman of Huawei, or as Ren Zhengfei, the founder and current chairman of the company, called Sun Yafang his most trusted deputy. She actually used to work for MSS, which is the Ministry of State Security. Basically, to some degree, can be equaled to what we know as KGB. So basically very much to the core of intelligence operations, and you would actually have personal links between these agencies and this so-called private company. Which obviously the military background of Ren Zhengfei himself, basically both these connections to intelligence and military, as far as we know, also helped them raise money when they were starting the business. And it should probably be mentioned here that Ren Zhengfei himself talks about applying Mao military thought at the company. Obviously, he would not probably say it today, but there were days where he would say it out loud, even in Chinese, or I mean, at least in Chinese. So there's obviously more examples of clear statements of being linked to the system, but there's also documents that actually show that basically party cadres are still very much important when it comes to Huawei's operations abroad, such as the 2017 sponsored study organization department. This is one of the key institutions within the Chinese party state system, and it basically stated that in Huawei teams abroad, because of the complexity and difficulty of European markets, party members are party cadres are key, and we have more examples of that. For example, what they now call the Offices of Ethics and Compliance, which were actually in 2012 created by renaming and sort of restructuring the former party committees within Huawei. These are now, as far as we know, operating in any branch abroad, with quite often, again, as far as we know, with only examples with actually party members being leaders of these strange committees that are somehow supposed to exert some sort of control, or more like they would probably use the term guide or lead other Chinese employees. And basically, after using this material with collaboration with the Czech radio, we have basically, or the Czech radio maybe more, actually confronted with this material, the local Huawei representation, and they basically confirmed all these allegations and suspicions. And a couple of days after that, the link somehow disappeared, which again, I guess, proves the fact that this is all real, and it was just not us thinking it, but they basically confirming it. And this is one of the logos of one of the OECs, or the Offices of Ethics and Compliance, which are supposedly non-political and completely independent of the party state system. Right. Yeah, still got some time. Good. So what we have seen here in the Czech Republic after the nuclear warning of December 2018, I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, was basically mobilizing of all the party state assets and its local friends after the nuclear warning, basically trying to frame it as somewhat illegal or unfair competition. I think racism was not mentioned, but definitely implied as well. And basically trying to somehow threaten, even with lawsuits, the Czech state into backing down on its security concerns that were actually very vocal, especially since the Cyber Administration Bureau has a very strong law that actually makes it legally obliged to issue that warning very publicly. And what we have seen is basically mobilization of not only Huawei's own PR, using documents of very dubious quality and origins, but also the local politicians, including President Zeman, who was actually delivering threats on behalf of Huawei, for example, saying that the Skoda company will be harmed in China, which never materialized, but it was still a prominent issue in the debate, and I would say that some people would have been scared into basically submission by that, because Skoda is a very important job maker here. And obviously the Czech Communist Party, especially its chairman Wojciech Filip, he actually went to China, met with lots of Chinese officials, including ILD, the International Liaison Department, which is in charge of basically keeping party-to-party links, and also with Huawei itself. And after he returned, he basically had Huawei talking points and again went on public media and lobbied for the company, again framing it as unfair competition. And what was also quite interesting is that, again, sort of showing the links and benefiting each other within the system, is that Huawei has been, or at least for as far as we know, for one of the conferences, has been for this one event at the Charles University of the now, let's say, denounced and also dismantled Czech-China Center, which in the end was quite clear that it was to some degree a vessel for Chinese state propaganda. Also, a lot of the events were paid by Chinese embassy. But the first event was, well, I mean, the wording is, the partner for the first event, for the first conference, was Huawei. And even though that it did not really have that much in common with anything of the topics that Huawei would be involved in, but were more in general just about the Chinese system, Chinese politics. I think Belt and Road was mentioned, but it shows that it did basically support a PR event that did not necessarily benefit its own purposes immediately. And that means that to some degree, all these synergies make Huawei's expansion abroad sort of inseparable from the large CCP influence operations. Here is a map that the President Zeman used during this this very high-level PR campaign that, as you can see, has the Czech Republic linked to Hungary instead of being Czech Republic, and other wonderful things like that, like New Zealand being Eastern Europe. So it's pretty clear that the map our president used was not actually made by a person familiar with the geography of Eastern or any kind of other Europe. And just quickly to sum it up with recommendations, we believe that the governments and hopefully even EU itself should use PRAC proposals and all these other documents that make it pretty clear that authoritarian linked companies are an issue to both both security of the systems and also basically our political system in general, and basically create explicit criteria on defining a company's links to the state beyond just the ownership networks. Because as I already mentioned, if you just look at ownership networks, then lots of these other complex implications we would basically miss and ignore. And that could, again, potentially harm us in the future. And beyond just Huawei, I mean, research and media organizations in general should investigate these companies linked to the party state, because this is a very complex issue that actually takes lots of time when it comes to due diligence in finding out like how these companies are actually high in the hierarchy, what they are linked to, and what could be the possible implications for the entities abroad. And also, we recommend that a list of these companies should be made, ideally also public, so that not only state organs but also private companies can have the information and the knowledge of who they are actually dealing with and why that could be a problem. And with that, I would end and thank